and welcome to the Go Home Show podcast. I, as ever, am Chris Anderson, and joining me today is Michael Henson to review NXT UK from Thursday night. There is a lot of action to get into, so let's jump straight into it. As you know, we have an actual structure for these review shows now, so we don't take half an hour to review 10-minute matches. The results were as follows. We opened the show with Dave Mastiff versus Joseph Connors in the Heritage Cup British Rules match. Dave Mastiff wins via knockout early in round three. This finish was a bit weird. The referee threw up the X, but I don't know if that's how they're just calling knockouts or if he was a legitimate injury. Regardless, Dave Mastiff going over strong via knockout. It was a good match. You could see they were trying to do technical stuff early on, but it was frequently going back to strikes. It did the job. I think Dave Mastiff was meant to go over strong anyway. But regardless of whether this was a legitimate finish or was an injury finish, Dave Mastiff wins via knockout early in round three.
Yeah, I was watching it. I didn't see the referee X, but then having spoke to you this morning, you've managed to see it. So I probably need to wear my glasses again. As Chris mentioned last week when we had A-Kid against Flash Morgan Webster, he was saying that he thought it would be more similar to the first week than there was the change. It's good that we're 3 weeks in. There's been three matches of the Heritage Cup and it's been three different finishes and three totally different matches. Like the first two rounds in this match were a draw. So I'm going to be interested to see where Kenny Williams, Trent Seven goes next week. And then, of course, we've got the three matches after that, the two semi-finals and then the final as well. So really look forward to see where that goes. We then get a Jordan Devlin promo. He is back. Of course, he won the Cruiserweight Championship at Worlds Collide. This is a very, 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 very good video package. Like, he is proper riled up. He says he's a true Cruiserweight Champion, and he said he's noticed that the change from interim to the NXT Cruiserweight Champion, and he's not just this performance center-wearing superstar and shows like Santos Escobar in one. Very good promo. Check it out. It's going to be on at Go Home Show Pod on Twitter once we've embedded the video from WWE. Go and check it out. It is very, very good.
What I'm interested to see in this one is if Jordan Devlin's already out in America, because obviously these are pre-recorded shows and they're put together. So he could be out in America ready to go already. I don't know what the quarantine rules or laws are out in America. I don't know if he'd have to quarantine 2 weeks or whatever it is. But if he's able to get out there, it wouldn't shock me if he's there ready to go and they can start building him back into the Cruiserweight picture as the real champion versus Santos Escobar as the interim champion. After that, we had Piper Niven beating Isla Dawn via Piper Driver in what was a very, very good match. And I think whilst we were watching this, we were both ready to say, right, this was match of the night. Happy days. This is you want to watch. The match starts off more technically than you would expect from a Piper Niven match. Isla Dawn, obviously very, very technically proficient. It eventually breaks down. We see Piper use her athleticism. We see Isla Dawn break out some big moves. In the end, you could see that the story of the match was to keep Piper strong. They consistently described her as a title contender and how if Isla Dawn got a win against the title contender, this would be a big win for her. So they're still trying to show that these two women are on different levels, but that Isla Dawn is like knocking on the door of being a title contender. In the end, Piper Niven goes over strong via Piper Driver. Very, very good match. And then after that, we are building towards next week's British Rules round one match to finish off the round. Kenny Williams and Trent Seven. Very different styles of promo package, I thought, Crush.
Yeah, it was sort of Kenny Williams in the gym where he pushed himself. I think it was his tag team partner, Mayor Jordan, that was like a sort of hype man. And then it was like a completely different, like proper video package for Trent Seven to build him up. And obviously, we've seen him as part of Mustache Mountain for many, many years now. And now he's sort of on his own. Because as we mentioned before we start recording, we're not too sure where Tyler Bate is or what he's doing at this moment in time. So
He's in a higher place of enlightenment.
Anyway, Trent is a very good wrestler in himself. Like, he is the perfect mix of comedy and proper wrestling. Like, his strikes and his sort of suplexes and moves are very, very good. But at the same time, he can switch it and be the comedian that everyone knows him from the independents. Like, every time I've watched Trent Seven, I know that he's going to go to the outside. The guy is going to be up against the ring post and he'll go for a chop. The guy moves and he absolutely smashes his fingers and everyone just finds it hilarious. And it works every single time. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the match next week on NXT UK. We then move into the main event of the night. and it is Pete Dunne making his first appearance in NXT UK in over a year, and Ilya Dragunov, current number one contender and former podcast guest of the Go Home Show, against the NXT UK champion Volta and Alexander Wolf, of course, of Imperium. And this match is ridiculously good. Volta is amazing. We're not going to go into too much detail now because it's going to be talked about a lot more later in the show. But Volta gets pinned for the first time ever in NXT UK as the team of Pete Dunne and Ilya Dragunov pick up the win to end the show. I think it went on for about 20 minutes. It is so good and the perfect ending to the show. Now we're into our top three moments of the show. And Chris, we'll start reverse this time. What was your third best moment of NXT UK last night?
So for me, I think usually I try and avoid putting promos in these because I like the in-ring action more than anything. But I think Jordan Devlin's promo, as a comeback promo, was very, very good. Especially when we hadn't really heard much news or much whisperings about him coming back into the title picture. Obviously, he is currently the Cruiserweight champion and they still recognise him as the Cruiserweight champion because the tournament in NXT was originally for the interim Cruiserweight champion. Then the word interim got dropped off quite quietly without anyone trying to like push it over. They actually reference it in the promo. It's very, very well done. I really enjoyed it. So I say, yeah, my third top moment is the Jordan Devlin promo for his return to the Cruiserweight division.
Yeah, I have to agree there. That was my third top moment as well. As soon as I was watching the show, that was straight in there. It hit, built him up to be another heel. And as Chris mentioned before, we don't know where he is. He could be in the USA now. It could be over here. He could be coming to NXT UK. But whatever he's going to do, he's going to make sure that we know he's the true Cruiserweight champion and take on whoever it will be, whether it be the current champion, Santos Escobar, in his fancy green jacket, or Isaiah Swerve Scott, or maybe even Kushida further down the line. But he's going to make sure we know he's the true Cruiserweight champion. My second top moment. See, I've put this, but now I'm thinking I could change to something else. It is from the tag team match, and it's moves by Volta. The first one was a tag team sandwich. So Dragunov sort of got like this armbar on Volta. At the same time, Wolf is on the floor with sort of like a sleeper on Pete Dunne. So Volta just yeets Ilya up and powerbombs him onto Dunne and Wolf. So that was originally there, but just think about it. Later in that match, Ilya Dragunov goes up to the top rope. He goes for a diving, I think it's like a diving elbow to Volta, who's on the other side of the ring. And Volta just literally stands up and delivers a chop that sounds like a bullet out of a gun. He hits him that hard. And Ilya just flops and sells it so good. So that is my second top moment. Chris, what about you?
Yeah, I have to go on to yours very quickly. I thought Dragunov sold the chops really well. Yeah. I think there's quite often with Volta's chops, we see a lot of, I don't say overselling, but over movement, if that makes sense. Like people taking big spinning bumps and all this kind of stuff, which is fine from time to time. But obviously, because Dragunov, you know, Dragunov's going to eat a lot of chops. There's no point doing that big bump for it because we're just going to see it again and again and again. So he was selling more on like the wobbly legs, air sucked out the lungs. It was really, really well done. Mine is from a different match. Mine is from the opening match, and it's Dave Mastiff, the 300-pound behemoth, drop kicking and hitting a picture perfect drop kick to Joseph Connors. Now, usually I'm not the biggest fan of big guys doing drop kicks unless they can do them really well, because they quite often look quite messy. Like if they hit too low or if they don't really get the rotation on them, they don't look great.
Can you this hit is a drop kick?
I do the same kind of drop kick the Volta does, which is the business decision drop kick. So more of a shotgun drop kick. But I do mine from standing rather than running. And yes, I have a very good drop kick. I can get above the chin. It's not fun to take, but that's not my problem. But yeah, no, it's a legitimately picture-perfect drop kick where he even does the twist over into a front bump. It's really, really well done. And actually, it's almost like a standout moment of the match because it's such a short match. I mean, it was 30 seconds into round three that the match ended. And it didn't fit with any other part of the match, which made it its own unique moment. So I really, really enjoyed that. My top moment of the day, however, and this is there's two parts of this. Number one is Pete Dunne's incredible fake tan going into the match, which was only highlighted more by the fact that obviously he's against three quite pale competitors, Ilya Dragunov, Volta, and Alexander Wolf. And he comes out looking like he'd spent the entire quarantine on the Costa del Sol, sunning it up. He just really, really stood out. Well, also, it's worth pointing out, Pete Dunne is in incredible shape now. No longer the bruiserweight. He's very much the,
he's jacked as AF.
He's the paleo weight. Yeah, what makes me laugh as well is that his singlet is now, you can see it's a little bit too big for him everywhere apart from the chest, which still fits perfectly. So he's just put all his, he's done a lot of chest days from Pete Dunne. He looks great. The fake tan did stand out a bit, but actually the biggest moment for me and the top moment is Dragunov finally being the man to pin Volta in the middle of the ring. 1-2-3 with his torpedo, with Torpedo Moscow. It's dead good moment. It really built up the match well. I thought actually this match told a really good story in that it kept Pete Dunne very strong to the point early on where I was like, Pete Dunne's challenging next to the title because he was built up so strong. He had the hot tag, for example, which would usually go to the number one contender because you're building up that moment over. Volta stayed incredibly strong throughout, even when he was getting knocked down, as we said earlier, with the coming off the top rope to hit the chop. He'd get up very quickly, hit a big move, kind of show that it's impossible to keep him down. And then when he's up, you're in trouble. But then Dragunov being the man to pin Volta really, really gets over the fact that he's a legitimate contender for the title. So that is my number one moment of the show. Crush, what was yours?
Originally, I'd put in Pete Dunne being Jacked AF or Ilya Dragunov's chest, just how bright it was. But my number one moment of the match is from the women's match, and it's Isla Dawn's incredible top rope Meteora. We mentioned on Tuesday's review about Aleister Black doing one through the chairs. Now, this one was from the top rope on Piper Niven, and I thought it was incredible. Like, it was a very good match, and then this spot was very good, and it made me properly invested in the characters. Like, I've not seen much of Isla Dawn, I have to admit, but this match now makes me want to see her being up there challenging Mikaeli Ray for the NXT UK Women's Championship alongside Piper Niven. And yeah, a battle between two Scottish very good wrestlers. And yeah, it was my one match to watch until we got the main event. So let's move on to this, Chris. Let's talk about the tag team match, Pete Dunne and Ilya Dragunov beating Volta and Alexander Wolf.
Yeah, this, as I said earlier, it's a very, very good match for actually getting over each member of the match's position on the card, if that makes sense. So they start off talking about how Alexander Wolf is the hatchet man for Imperium, and he takes the majority of the moves. He's obviously the one that gets beat down a lot out of Imperium because they have to keep Volta strong. But they use that really nicely to A, show how dangerous he is. He hits his own big moves, has his own big moments. He has a couple of big kickouts. He had a really good moment when he gets hit with the Gotch suplex from Dragunov. And it looks like a legitimate finish. I sell it really well. He gets the big kick out. And he also, you see him take commands from Volta very well, where there's no like, there's an obvious general and an obvious hatchet man. That worked really nicely. Volta, as we said, was kept strong throughout. He ate the pin, but didn't look weak for doing it. It just built up really nicely into the title match coming up in a few weeks. Pete Dunne got a lot more in than I was expecting. I think from what I could see there, it showed that he's probably going to NXT UK for a while. I think a lot of us were expecting him to go back out to NXT as soon as possible. I think they've kind of accepted that it's not going to be possible to do that on a bigger stage, certainly not until we get the new imports into NXT UK, which have been rumoured for a while. So I think he'll stay until we get those in, and then maybe he'll make his way out. But the biggest moment for me, obviously, is building up Dragunov into being a legitimate contender against Volta. I think, for me personally, it felt like they've struggled to that over the last few weeks. I mentioned, I think it was 2 weeks ago, that after the Heritage match, Dragunov came out to make the save for Pete Dunne. And then once they chased off Imperium, they played Pete Dunne's music. And that kind of felt like a bit of a, like, if we're building up Dragunov, let's build him up. Let's make it all about him. This match did a really, really good job of showing that Dragunov is a legitimate contender for this title and can beat Volta, as we've seen, by pinning him in the middle of the ring after the torpedo in Moscow.
Yeah, we're building up to this. What is going to be an incredible match. I'd like to think it'd be a match of the year contender, especially in the NXT UK brand, on October the 29th. So we're in 2 weeks now until we get Ilya Dragunov versus Volta. So really look forward to that match. Like, as Chris mentioned, this is really building up Ilya to be a credible champion. Like, we've not really seen it so far in the past few weeks, because although he's done a couple of run-ins and had a very good match himself with Noam Dar, this is properly building up to October 29th when he'll battle Volta for the NXT UK Championship. Like, to become the first man ever to pin Volta in NXT or NXT UK is incredible. That is a huge push. He's now shown that he can do it. Like, I think he went for it early in the match and Volta counted it, but then to get that finish and show that he can actually do it, it makes everything so much more interesting now going into October 29th. Like, what happens next week? How do we see the storyline develop? like, how is this match going to go down? It's so much intriguing and makes you then want to definitely tune in to October 29th. So it did a very, very good job. And as Chris said, it looks like Pete Dunne could be the next challenger while we're still in this pandemic. But to be fair, imagine Pete Dunne versus Ilya Dragunov versus Volta at NXT TakeOver Dublin. It's going to be good. But anyway, that was the NXT UK show. We could talk about that main event for so much longer, but we're going to end it there. To summarise, NXT UK is going from strength to strength. We've seen, I think, what, three or four shows now, Chris? 3 or 4 weeks it's been back. And it's going from strength to strength each week. Like, it's getting better and better. The breadth of characters and storylines in this is incredible. The male and female divisions are absolutely stacked. We've not really seen much of the tag team divisions, but that's because our Heritage Cup's going on and a couple of superstars are injured. But like, if you think about it, Chris, last night, we didn't have Kaylee Ray, we didn't have Tyler Bate, we didn't have Trent Seven wrestle, we didn't have Ginny, we didn't have so many superstars in that roster on that show, but it was still incredible.
Yeah, I think what they're doing is a really nice job of, and the tournament helps with this, is they, when you've only got an hour, which realistically is three matches or three matches in a squash match, like that's the most you can get in there. And you have some promo time for guys, but so we didn't mention it earlier, but we saw during the show there was a promo with Oliver Carter and Ashton Smith. So there are like little opportunities to get them in there. But realistically, when you think about it, like you said, you listed all those names, but even Noam Dar wasn't on the show today. A-Kid, not on the show today. So the tournament helps with that because there's a reason for them not being on TV and it doesn't feel like they're missing. And we saw it as well with the big brawl last week. Like, that was their way of getting all the women, being like, hey, they're all here. Don't forget about them. They're here. We've only got an hour. We'll only get so many matches in. So they're doing a really nice job of keeping everyone strong and keeping everyone relevant when you've only got an hour a week. It's a really, really well done build for the entire company.
Yeah, a very good show. Like, check it out. One match to watch, as mentioned before, is the main event between Pete Dunne, Ilya Dragunov and Volta and Alexander Wolf. Close second being Piper Niven against Isla Dawn. But that is all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening in. Make sure to leave a review on the podcast if you've enjoyed it. And follow us on Twitter at GoHomeShowPod. Check us out on YouTube at SportsWrestling for all our interviews and segments from the main podcast. Speaking of the main podcast, that came out yesterday. So make sure you check out that and our review shows on all good podcasting apps. We'll be back to review SmackDown tomorrow. And as I mentioned before, check out the main podcast. This week, we have a very special guest in the form of Inside the Ropes' Kenny McIntosh, as well as Mr. Money in the Bank himself, Otis, stopping by for a chat with our very own Bill Brayshaw. Thanks for listening. Let's go home.